Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.
Building a business may feel like a big jump, but OnDeck Small Business Loans can help keep you afloat. With lines of credit up to $100,000 and term loans up to $250,000, OnDeck lets you choose the loan that's right for your business. As a top-rated online small business lender, OnDeck's team of loan advisors can help you find the right business loan to fit your needs. Visit OnDeck.com for more information. Depending on certain loan attributes, your business loan may be issued by OnDeck or Celtic Bank. OnDeck does not lend in North Dakota. All loans and amounts subject to lender approval.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
As you've been hearing over the last few days and weeks, it is a really important time for both retail and also for restaurants. A lot of them said this could be a last chance saloon for certain operators. Just to give you one idea, one third of all restaurant income comes in the 6-week run-in to Christmas. That's how important this period is for their survival. We've lost one or two even coming into Christmas, businesses that are in insolvency. So where are we going now, both with restaurants and also with the wider retail trade? I'm joined by Gene McCabe, who is the CEO of Retail Excel Ireland, to answer that question. I'm also joined by Adrian Cummins, who's the Chief Executive Officer at the Restaurants Association of Ireland. You're both very welcome and happy Christmas to you both.
Happy Christmas.
Good. Thanks. Listen, Gene, I'll go to you first. How have things gone? Obviously, some businesses are in the middle of sales, some have yet to launch them. But the general verdict on the Christmas shopping season this year is?
The general verdict from retailers is relatively positive. After what has been a difficult year, it's certainly welcome to see a good December trading. And I guess the budget, while it might have failed to deliver for retail, it did put $2 billion into consumers' pockets in November and December. So I think retailers got to see the fruits of that. And overall, relatively positive for most retailers. Some SMEs finding it a bit more difficult in certain areas of the country. But December, certainly, after a difficult year, has been good.
Yeah, and I suppose it stretches a long time. You've got Black Friday and Cyber Monday and all the rest of it. So there's a lot of little pockets of activity within that. Adrian, if I can come to you. We know restaurants have been struggling because we can see it in the news. Green Hen in insolvency reported just about a week ago. So we see these names constantly hitting the headlines, but can you give us an assessment of how the Christmas period, which is absolutely pivotal for them, how it went from what you're hearing from your contacts?
Well, the Christmas has been quite good and quite positive for our industry. Irish people usually spend a lot at Christmas around hospitality. That 6 weeks run into Christmas is always very, very busy for us, and this year has been no different. And we've seen an increase in turnover around this period also. Now that could be associated with inflation as well, but we're quite positive at the moment. But you know, next year is going to bring a lot of challenges for our industry, and that's where these businesses now are facing into the January, February of a tough 2 months ahead.
Now, one of the things is, as you said, the January period is traditionally being the killing fields. There aren't tourists around, so it's very much a trade reliant solely on the local custom. So how difficult are you expecting January to be?
Well, last January, we had about 110 closures in our industry. So this January now, we're waiting to see, and we're hoping that figure won't materialise, because, you know, we want to make sure that every business survives. But what I'm getting, the feedback I'm getting from operators is it's very, very challenging at the moment in terms of the cost of business. We also have a minimum wage increase in the first of January, which will add to wage inflation in our industry also, and it will be across the board. And the government, whenever that government is formed, we need to see them deliver on that that VAT rate of reduction in the VAT rate to 9%. So we'll be lobbying heavily on this for the new government when they're coming in, because if they don't do something on VAT, you'll see a range of closures right across the country in nearly every town and every city in Ireland.
Yeah, can I just delve into that a bit deeper? Obviously, a lot of people listening to us will might want to make a booking in a restaurant going in. So should they be concerned that the company they're giving the deposit to are more than a deposit might not be there? Is that sort of building a self-fulfilling prophecy where all these stories about closures and so on make customers themselves nervous?
Well, I think you have a point there, all right, but in fairness, people in January and February, you know, it is a quiet time, so deposits is not a huge thing for our industry around that time of year. So I would be very confident that businesses won't be demanding deposits at a quiet time of the year in January or February. So I think that'll set our customers' minds at ease.
Now, Jean, if I can come to you, obviously prices pivotal, inflation pivotal. Did you see people pulling back? Were they, from what you hear from your contacts in industry, were they making smaller purchases? Were they being a bit more sparing about the cash? What kind of trends did you notice after sort of consumer sentiment has been really damaged in recent months by all the endless inflation stories? Did you see that coming true, or did you see them being pretty resilient regardless?
We certainly saw it throughout the year. And if we look at, let's say, Black Friday, for example, we done a survey with our members to see how they fared. And what was very evident from the data was that the large multiples done really well over Black Friday week kind of month, and nearly seeing double digit growth, while the SME saw nearly double digit declines. So there's a kind of a split happening within the industry of who's getting to trade well and who's not. Now, overall for December has been relatively positive. But throughout the year, we certainly saw consumers being a lot more mindful about how they bought, being very conscious on price and on maintaining value. But for December, it didn't seem to appear that way. But Black Friday weekend was a good weekend for a lot, which would say the consumer was price driven.
Now, in terms of the balance, Jean, between online and bricks and mortar, we're always a bit obsessed with this. I know COVID obviously heightened the online piece. It then came back. People flock back to bricks and mortar, and it's going to settle into a pattern. I was looking at the CSO figures myself a while ago. It seems to have really the online piece, and I know the CSO stuff has limitations to the data, but it does seem that the Amazon side has sort of cooled off a little bit, and bricks and mortar has been resilient. From this Christmas and the last few weeks, where are we on that balance between online and bricks and mortar in retail?
Certainly, the reports from members are that they traded exceptionally well online over the Christmas period, but equally had seen decent enough footfall in stores, maybe slight declines in some areas in footfall, but the spend, the average transaction value of that consumer made up for it. I think the story of Holyhead and the impact of that made people actually walk in the doors of stores also in fear that they might not get their deliveries on time. So that certainly helps drive more people in stores. And reports overall is in-store and online has traded up over the Christmas period. Online probably gaining more, larger multiples gaining more again. SMEs finding it a little bit more difficult, all right, and didn't see the same gains that others saw. So it just goes back to that whole SME piece again, you know, how they certainly need more support and the industry as a whole needs support, more support. There are, what I'll say is, and I'm sure that the restaurant guys are the exact same. You know, there's lots of busy fools out there. You can have an extremely busy store, but because costs are so high right now and trying to manage them, it leaves you very, very little at the end.
Yeah, and I don't want to give a company beginning with A that everyone knows in retail too much publicity, but they have a new Irish warehouse opening up this in the year coming. They have a new Irish website due as well. So that competitive pressure is only going to grow, isn't it, from that particular company beginning with A that I won't be mentioning.
Yes. And look, what we'll say about A is, you know, they have always been there. They've existed for the last, I don't know how many decades at this stage. But the fact now they're putting a base here, their logistics are going to be way more streamlined. It's going to be so quick and easy. It is going to be a challenge for retailers. But let's not give them any more publicity.
Well, it's going to be hard. Of course, TikTok, I think before Christmas also announced that a lot of Irish suppliers and producers are going onto their service. So in some ways, you're right. Sometimes it can be a threat, but other times it can be an additional distribution platform, I suppose.
Yeah, and actually you just mentioned there TikTok. You know, TikTok Live in China at the moment is on fire and it seems to be the new route to go. And you know what? That can be an opportunity, especially for the smaller SMEs to be able to harness and have a reach like the larger multiples. But I think we're going to see the explosion of TikTok Live now over the next 12 months. If we're going to say what 2025 looks like for retail, I think it's going to be there.
Okay, well, we'll see how that one goes. Adrian, you must be completely, your head must be spinning at this stage about the VAT rate, because obviously we had the budget. your members were told no, it was too much money and too untargeted, etc. And you were given a whole range of reasons why it couldn't be brought back down. Now we've had an election. Various people are coming out and saying they're absolutely supportive of this. Other people are no comment. I mean, you must be kind of confused in the sense that the election and the budget were fairly recent. So, you know, they're sending out mixed smoked signals, these politicians. You must be kind of thinking to yourself, how do I get a handle on where the kind of majority of them are?
Well, we're very clear on where we are with this, is that some political parties have said that they will reduce the VAT rate. And once the government is formed, we will be holding them to account on that, because they have promised that they will reduce it in the first 100 days. And we would expect that they will deliver on that promise. And it is a must and a necessity for our industry. And I think the thing about that, the proposal around the VAT, it would be made permanent into the future, which would mean that we wouldn't be every year looking for it, the VAT rate to be retained. It'd be at a fixed rate for the next number of years over the lifetime of the government. And that would be good for our industry, give confidence back to the market.
And do you think the batch of independents that are likely to form the next government, that's presumably a bonus for you? They tend to be pro-hospitality and so on.
Yes, they are pro-hospitality. They actually brought a motion before the Dáil twice on the VAT rate for hospitality. So, you know, we're thankful to see that the independents are in there, and we see that also Fine Gael had it in its manifesto to reduce the VAT rate as well. So we just need to get on now and deliver it for our industry, and let's get on with trying to make our industry appealing and keep these doors open across the country.
And Adrian, I mean, looking at inflation in food service generally, obviously there's takeaways, there's in restaurants as well. But I mean, the figures are astronomical. I mean, the increases in the last year or two, and I'm not blaming or casting aspersions on anyone who's responsible for what, but as a consumer, you're getting absolutely whacked when you go to dine in an Irish restaurant at the moment, and there's no sign of it topping out. That must concern you going into 2025. Like, the inflation, the CSO numbers for restaurants are just almost eye-watering to see the increases coming through.
That's true, because it's the cost of running the restaurant has to be passed on to the consumer, or else there's no... Like, every owner that I'm talking to on a daily basis, they keep saying to me, I'm a busy fool, there's no margin in this business, I don't know why I'm in the restaurant industry. Even though they have increased their prices so far that, you know, there's only so much they can do with their pricing model.
Is there more that can be done? Because, I mean, I had Bord Bia talking to me a few weeks ago saying, you know, there's not enough coming together of restaurants. They're not doing buying arrangements. They're not, you know, they're very much a sort of a solo operator mentality, that they need to do more things together and bring down costs and create economies that way. Are you seeing anything like that? Or is that a goer that might help even at the margin?
Well, you will see it with, let's say, groups of restaurants that are under one ownership, but you won't see it with individuals coming together in a cooperative manner and fashion yet. That doesn't say that it wouldn't happen into the future. It is quite a good idea by Bord Bia that, you know, propose group buying and group purchasing. And that may come about over the next 12 months, because we may be forced into that in order to make margin in our businesses. And it's something that we're quite open to look at. It is working already in the hotel industry, where they have group purchasing. But within small individual restaurants, it's more difficult to operate, because there may be different menus, different products, different whatever. So it's not as easy to roll it out in the restaurant industry.
No. And what way do you think the closure, you're talking about 110 closures, which is a staggering number from previous years. When you say closure, do you think some of these businesses will be able to get back up again? They'll go through an examinership or some other arrangement, or do you think they'll be stone dead liquidations? Or like what's going to happen to them? Can you give us some idea of when we see closures? Are they going to be very terminal, or are they where the company may, you know, the people behind it, the chef or something, may open another restaurant? Like, how is it going to play out? Just to give us some idea of how you see it.
Well, first of all, there's a huge amount of tax due, warehouse tax due, and also current tax due. So you might have a business that says, their accountant may look at it and say, this business is not viable now, we need to liquidate the business. Or they may go into examinership or into the SCARP scheme and try and get a deal done with the revenue on a reduction. But I think you will see the same level of closures. in 2025 as we had in 2024, because we're on the face of it, there's a huge amount of debt within our industry and it hasn't washed out through the system. That's a lot of that is legacy debt from COVID. So you may see businesses closing down and then maybe a new operator goes into that premises and starts up again. But they
want to do you have any figures on new entrants coming in, or do you have any sense of on the other side? Obviously, these are net numbers.
Yeah. So in 2024, we had more closures than openings. That's a fact.
Yep.
So what we would hope that it would reverse in 2025, we'll have more openings than closures. But we don't know yet until we see the first 3 months of the year. Because always in the first 3 months of the year is when there's a washout of the system.
And do you think, in terms of closures, do you think it's going to be a Dublin thing? It's going to be outside Dublin? It's going to be in the... like, just give us an idea where you think they're going to come. Is there anything you're expecting to happen just geographically and so on?
Well, we believe that it'll be right across the board, across every county and every town. And it'll be it'll be worse in regional Ireland, in the smaller towns. And in the cities where you have let's say volume, population and capacity in terms of demand, it won't be as hard hit as the smaller town and provincial village across the country.
Okay, well, listen, hopefully none of that will happen. I'll give the last word to you, Gene. Obviously, there's always insolvency in every industry. Do you see much of a shakeout in the retail business, or do you think there it's more like reduction in profit, or are you going to see closures in that area as well?
No, I think we definitely will see closures. If we look at say quarter three of last year, there was a 77% increase in retail insolvencies. So the sector is certainly hurting, just like hospitality. And I do think that it'll be Q1, Q2 of next year that you will see some fatalities. I'm a retailer myself, actually, and a store two doors down from me just closed up this week, their last day being Christmas Eve. So closures is very real in retail. And as Adrian mentioned, you know, there's lots of busy fools. You might see busy stores, you might see full restaurants, but the margins are just so tight because the cost of doing business at the moment is unsustainable for many. And, you know, we've called on government to help. We know we can't endure the costs of wage increases on our own. And I think for 2025, it's something they're going to have to do, because I'd hate to think what our towns, cities and villages will look like in 2026.
All right, well, listen, hopefully, as I said, none of this will be quite as bad as you both are predicting, but we just have to be realistic at the same time. Thank you very much for your contributions. Gene McCabe, who is Head of Retail Excellence Ireland, and Adrian Cummins, who is from the Restaurant Association of Ireland.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Stripe helps many of the world's most influential companies grow their revenue and build a more profitable business. Whether it's Hertz making checkout a smooth ride for their customers, OpenAI answering unprecedented demand, or PGA chipping away at back office inefficiency, Stripe's financial infrastructure platform helps companies achieve ambitious goals. No matter what success looks like for your business, Stripe helps ensure the complexity of financial systems doesn't get in your way. Learn more at stripe.com.